League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Well, it is the Monday night football game of the season, Rams and Chiefs. And it looks like the Rams are getting the better of the Chiefs right now.
Just for the moment.
Andy Reid just exploded. He's not happy with the referees tonight.
He is not happy. That's early on. I mean, they're not used to 7 points at this point in the game.
No, they're not. I mean, 13-7 the score. Zuerlein has mixed an extra point for the Rams, so they have 13 on the board.
Which is also shocking.
But that he got another missed extra point this week. Not a good week to be a kicker.
No.
Particularly if you play for the San Diego Chargers.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
The LA Chargers. Yeah.
Now, really? Yeah, they lead the league in the past two seasons with missed PATs with 12.
How can that be? How are they missing?
Crazy. And the second place team's 7. So it's not even close. 12, yeah. Almost double.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tricky. That seems like easy points.
Well, when we sit here 1 week from now, it will be the Houston Texans, our home team in Houston, versus the Titans, and what really is an important matchup in their division.
And I don't think they're going to see Marcus Mariota. He injured his elbow yesterday.
Yeah, he looks like he'll miss. And
So we got Blaine Gabbert coming in the house again.
Their
we're going to their
right?
house, actually.
What's that?
Their worst nightmare, right?
Their worst nightmare.
Well, evidently. Apparently.
BG's in the house. Yikes!
Titans sit at 5-5, Texans 7-3, so 2-game difference. Texans could pretty much deliver a knockout punch to the Titans for the division.
And they need to get a little revenge after that horrific loss.
The team that's coming on strong, and maybe we can talk about it in another segment, is, well, Andrew Luck is back. I mean, it looks to me like the Colts are really the team that might be able to challenge the Texans down the stretch.
Their record doesn't show it because they started out with, you know, 5-game losing streak.
Yep.
But wow, wow, wow. Andrew Luck to T.Y. Hilton was ridiculous yesterday.
Well, no more questions about his arm.
Over 400 yards.
Yeah, he's making all the throws, short, deep, mid-range. He just looks like the Luck of old. And he's getting great protection now. That offensive line is protecting him. He hasn't been sacked since October the 4th. He gets some credit for that. He didn't hold on to the ball too long, but he's got some really nice horses up front who are doing a good job protecting him.
And he's a lot better with a quick release. You're exactly right. And you know what? Take note, NFL teams. He took his time to get better, and it's benefiting him now.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Matt Perrault about the big matchup of Tiger and Phil coming up this Friday. Matt Perrault joining us on SB Nation Radio.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, it's a really unique deal. You get to watch Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson battle in a winner-take-all $9 million event. It's the Capital One's The Match. And you can see it on BleacherReport.live and pay-per-view. And that's this Friday, November 23rd. It'll be at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we will have a man on the ground, SB Nation Radio will. His name is Matt Perrault, and Matt Perrault is joining us. Matt, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Who would have thought this moment would come where you would be joining me on a show?
Of all the interviews I have done in my career, this is one of the highlights. Very happy to join beyond you guys.
Well, you are the man on the spot because you're up there in Vegas and the tournament looms on, or the match looms on Friday. What are you looking forward to? What are your perspectives on this one?
You know, I think this is a very unique opportunity for golf fans to watch these two guys go at it kind of in a similar way. I kind of alluded to it. It's kind of similar when Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr. fought. As we've always seen these guys as rivals, we've always wanted to see what would happen if they went head-to-head, just the two of them, and that we know that Phil Mickelson is a legendary gambler and has legendary stories about gambling and how he would potentially put pressure on Tiger and make different side bets with Tiger. And I think this is a really cool opportunity to watch these guys interact with each other. We know that both golfers will be mic'd up. Both caddies will also be mic'd up. So the chance to hear, you know, what type of conversations they're having and what type of strategies we're going to see on the course, you know, playing this head-to-head matchup. And there are some changes that have been made to Shadow Creek Golf Course to try to make it more exciting for the golf fans and try to add some extra drama. And the side wagering here in Vegas is going to be just huge. They're pushing some brand new interactive in-game proprietary MGM type of stuff that the fans at home on here in Vegas will be able to be a part of. So it's a really special event. It's a unique event, and I think it's one that everyone will watch and see, because if it does well, we'll probably see more of these.
So Matt, if I'm going to plunk down my $20 make you holler to see this beat down here in the desert, is it reasonable to expect that we would see elite golf, or do you really look at it as like you just want to catch these quote moments that you're going to see between Phil and Tiger, you know, by hearing the caddies and all of that? What are the expectations going into it?
I mean, Phil has played horribly over the last couple of months. I mean, I think if you go back to the Ryder Cup, we know what happened to him in France. He was bad. Tiger wasn't great. He was better than Phil was for Team USA, but the Americans got stomped over in Europe, and that's the last time we saw Tiger and Phil playing competitive golf. So this is a chance for Phil to kind of rid the bad taste in his mouth, and I think he wants to come out here and show out. I mean, he's older than Tiger. You know, he's in the twilight of his career. Tiger Woods next year is going to be seen as one of the favorites going into all four majors. You know, Phil had one win last year in Mexico City and got everybody really excited with the World Golf Championship, the Bridgestone down there in Mexico. And people thought, oh my gosh, Tiger and Phil both together are going to have, you know, a great season. We didn't see Phil finish the way he wanted to. Tiger was obviously very strong down the stretch and very much part of all the majors. So I think going into this, Tiger's a heavy favorite, but I wouldn't count Phil out because he is a competitor and we know how he loves to gamble. So this is $9 million on the line here. This is a chance for him to go out and take some money off Tiger. So I expect great golf from both these guys.
I mean, winner take all $9 million. I mean, that has got to draw some competitive fire. I mean,
for 18 holes, not a season like the FedEx Cup. This is 18 holes.
I mean, it's a big deal. I think these guys have got to come in fired up. You know, it's so interesting in tournaments, there's always you're playing the field or you're playing yourself or you're playing the course. But in this case, it does feel like it is Tiger versus Phil.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, this is history. This is two guys who did not get along early in their career. Phil, you know, kind of had his moments in Phil Mickelson when Tiger came storming in. All that fire, all the energy, all the attention for the PGA Tour went directly on Tiger Woods. And, you know, we never really saw these two guys on a Sunday at a major teamed up together coming down the stretch. And so this is what we're going to see coming up on Friday where, you know, there's nobody else getting in the way. It's just them, the golf course, and the clubs in their hands. And, you know, they've been pretty adamant that there's going to be side wagers going on, you know, 50,000 for that putt, 100,000 for that shot in the fairway. you know, they're going to do some real fun stuff to try to entertain the fans and, you know, try to make it a real spectator event. And then, like I mentioned, the changes they've made, they shortened up some of the par threes. They've shortened up some of the par fives. They really want to make this golf course playable and really a scoreable golf course. And, you know, I would expect both guys to be well under par, and I expect both guys to have some memorable shots and moments on Friday.
We are talking to SB Nation Radio host Matt Perrault. He hosts the weekday show each weekday, 12 to 3 Eastern, and he is in Vegas and will be at the big matchup. It'll be Tiger versus Phil this Friday, and that's 3 p.m. Eastern, so that'll be an exciting one to watch. You know, this whole concept of Tiger versus Phil makes me think, well, what other players would I ever have wanted to see face head-to-head? And, of course, for me, having grown up in the Jack Nicklaus era, it would have been great to see Jack paired up against perhaps an Arnold Palmer or a Gary Player. Of course, down the stretch, he had some matchups where he was battling head-to-head with a guy like Johnny Miller or Tom Watson. Mm-hmm. But what's the matchup you'd most like to see if you could just take any two guys from 2 points in history?
Well, I mean, I'm 41, so I'm a contemporary with Tiger. So clearly, this is the matchup for me in terms of what I'd want to see. But historically speaking, I mean, if you look back, you know, Jack and Arnie clearly would be phenomenal. We saw this. I mean, we saw the battle at Bridgestone. We saw the battle at Big Little Horn, whatever it was called. I mean, we've seen these prime time events happen with Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia, with Annika Sorenstam. We saw Tiger in these moments where he was playing either match play or he was playing, you know, team golf, you know, one other competitor going down the stretch. We didn't see this. We didn't see Tiger and Phil. And it's kind of like, you know, Pacquiao Mayweather, where that fight happened about 10 years too late. I mean, in all honesty, this thing should have happened about 10 years ago. It never would have, but it would have happened 10 years ago when both these guys were in their early and mid-30s versus early and late 40s. So that's one of the differences, I think, from where these guys are. But, you know, golf is a bit different than other sports where you can be highly competitive into your 40s. You've seen Fred Couples be very competitive, you know, into his upper 40s, you know, into his 50s. So I to me, this is the match I've always wanted to see, historically speaking. I mean, you know, you go back and see, you know, some of the big names, and, you know, I had a chance to follow. I went to the Masters a bunch of years ago, and, you know, Gary Player and Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus played on the par three together, and I got a chance to watch those guys play together, and that was a real highlight and a real treat for my golf viewing. And so I've seen those guys play together, you know, maybe not in the most competitive states, but this is, for me, this is it. Tiger and Phil is what I've always wanted to see.
All right, it's Tiger and Phil, a winner-take-all $9 million. You can see it on the BleacherReport.live or pay-per-view. It's this Friday. Hey, Matt, let's shift gears for just a minute. When you're not on the radio with us, I'm sure you're watching this Monday night game, the much-hyped game, the much-anticipated game. Here come the Chiefs. They're working their way back into this one.
You're going to totally steal this because I'm taping this at the moment, so I'm not actually watching this game right now. So hopefully when I get back, I'll be able to see the full thing. But I have the Chiefs plus 3.5. So let's see the Chiefs come back. If they're losing, I want to see them come back here and either cover that 3.5-point line or win the game outright.
See, spoken like a true Vegas guy, right? Score stands right now. It's the Rams up 16-7 over the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are about to take a field goal, so
and
they will close that gap. It's good. It'll be 16-10. So we've been asking everybody for an over-under total point score tonight. You're in Vegas. What are they saying?
Well, look, the total was the highest in history going into this game tonight. It was 63.5. That since 1984, when we started tracking these types of wagers, it's the highest we've seen. There were books here in Vegas that had it at 64. I believe CG Technology, where I do Pushing the Odds every weekday here on the network, they had it at 63.5. The anticipation was the over. I have told everybody all week that I would play the under on this game, just because when you start hearing the words historic and really high, both these teams were approaching this like a Super Bowl, and the NFL has a all-star crew headed up by Cleet Blakeman going on to that game for the referees. I mean, this was a major game for the NFL. So to me, I thought both teams would play extremely hard. Both defenses would show up, and I think the score will be probably in the upper 20s, but I was not going with both teams in the 30s like a lot of people were. So I did not play this game tonight, but if I did, I would have taken the under.
Carly and I were talking about before the show one other odds question before we lose you. If it ends up Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan, Notre Dame to me when they have to face Alabama or Clemson, are they double-digit underdogs?
Yeah, and the line's already been set that way.
Okay.
I think it's just, you know, look-ahead lines if it ever does happen. Alabama is at least an 8-point favorite against all three other teams you just mentioned. I think Clemson's the only team that they come in under double-digit favorites at the moment. Michigan would be an interesting one because of the way they play defense and how difficult it is to run against Michigan, but their offense is a major issue. And that's the thing about Alabama. I mean, just look at the game against LSU where, I mean, LSU's defense was in that game. It was 16-0 late in the third quarter, and their offense couldn't do anything. And you might say, well, the Citadel just scored 2 touchdowns on them, but they weren't paying attention to the Citadel by any means. This Alabama team has always been great defensively. The SEC has been built on defense. The difference with this Alabama team is that their offense, led by Tua, is just on a different level. And they've got so many skilled players. They've got NFL first-round draft picks who aren't even playing on offense. Their offensive line mauls you. It's just, I don't know how you beat that team. I really don't see anybody in college football who has enough. Either they have the defense to hang like LSU and Michigan, but not the offense, or the other way around, like Clemson. I mean, Clemson's got the offense to hang, but I'm not sure they've got the defense to be able to take away what Alabama can do down the field. So this is sort of a foregone conclusion in my mind that it's going to be Bama again hoisting that trophy.
Sure feels that way. Look, one more question before we let you go, because I know you love all things Boston Red Sox. If the Red Sox can open up their wallets and get just one of the two, Uvalde or Kimbrel, the starter or the reliever, which would you rather they pick up for next year?
I would way more rather having Nathan Eovaldi. I just think he's way more versatile. Look, Craig Kimbrel gave up a ton of runs last year.
Yep.
The fact that we're talking about Craig Kimbrel being one of the greatest closers of all time, I mean, fine, the numbers might bear that out, but just look at the way that he pitched in both the American League Series and the World Series. I mean, he walked guys like crazy. He had control issues throughout the entire postseason. I'm not trying to pour, you know, cold water on what Craig Kimbrel did, because the Red Sox wouldn't have won the World Series without him, but I just think that's a guy that if he wants mega money, let somebody else pay him. Nathan Eovaldi is a starter and a reliever. He's a guy with electric stuff who seems like he's finally figured it out. If I'm paying either one of those two guys, I'm definitely paying Nathan Eovaldi. He's way more important, I think, to the Red Sox next season in their starting rotation than I know a closer's a closer, but you can go and find guys, and the Red Sox have pockets to go and make trades if they need to go get a closer.
All right, that's Matt Perrault. He's a show host here on SB Nation Radio. He will be at the match between Phil and Tiger. I'll be sitting here watching it on pay-per-view, but have a great day Friday at the big match between Tiger and Phil. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. And yeah, full coverage of the media day will happen. Tomorrow's media, Wednesday, I'm pushing the odds for a full recap of what's happening for that here in Vegas. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Boston The Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So, Carla, I know that you do not want to miss the five-day sale happening this Black Friday through November 27th at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts. During these 5 days only, O'Reilly Auto Parts will offer incredible sales prices on products your vehicle uses every day. Stock up and save big on maintenance chemicals, motor oil, wiper blades, tool sets, and more. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You got that?
Got it. That's a fact check.
All right, listen, here's the way it went down, Jose. I was enjoying a peaceful Saturday afternoon.
True.
All was well in my house. My phone was
family
over.
Family coming in,
yeah,
for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving festivities started, and all of a sudden my phone started blowing up. It was over and over and over again. It was sort of like a bat signal in the sky. It was a message from the Gloss.
It was a call from the Gloss.
It was, yes, it was. She was on fire. And I went over to read this thing, and after I read through all the expletives and such, I finally got to the meat of the message.
That's
and it
true
said,
too.
You've got to be watching this Ohio State versus Maryland game. Go. So I put down the phone.
You
I do
followed
what,
orders.
I do
should.
What I do. I mean, I got to do it, right?
Did I do you a solid? You're welcome.
It was a fabulous
such
game.
Such a great game.
Incredible. And you tuned me in. I guess I picked it up with about 5 minutes remaining.
In regulation.
In regulation. And then it just kept going. Amazing win. When I tuned in, I thought Maryland was going to pull that off and that you were basically teeing me in to see the big upset of Saturday. And yet Ohio State pulled the rabbit out of the hat.
Again. Oh, my goodness. You know what I noticed most about that game? And I told you this, too, is watching Urban Meyer. He was constantly bent over with his hands on his knees and his head hanging down. It was more than... I couldn't tell. At first, I thought it was just frustration. I think the guy was seriously having an out-of-body experience because the Buckeyes were just getting mowed over by the Terrapins.
Yeah, raised the question, was it the stress of the game, which was significant, or was it just a bad breakfast of some kind?
Or, third option, was it karma? Is a beep. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. All right. I don't know that one.
But the final score, 52-51 in overtime, because Maryland failed on a two-point conversion, which would have put it away.
Yep. Now, your guy, Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, he's my guy.
Who lit it up. I mean, he was awesome on Saturday. He's on your short list for the Heisman.
He's my top guy right now for the Heisman.
Why? You got him over Tua.
I've got him over Tua because Tua has not been on the field very much. I mean, he's been on the field a good amount, yes, but he is
they've hardly needed him.
And they haven't needed him, exactly. But when I look at, like, the overall season numbers, like, I look at, you know, Tua's got, like, 31 touchdowns on the year. Dwayne Haskins has, like, 38 on the year. And to me, what Tua has done is made an already dominant team, repeated national championship team, even better with his quarterback play because he is outstanding.
Yep.
What Dwayne Haskins Jr. has done is made sure that Ohio State is still in it. He single-handedly put the Buckeyes on his back on Saturday when they could do nothing right, and his numbers showed it. He himself, 6 touchdowns, 3 passing, 3 running, 12 carries. He saved their booties over and over and over again. Steely-nerved, he's my guy.
Well, he's got him to the cusp here. I mean, they're going to play Michigan. Look, their defense is pretty porous, so I'm not going to say that Ohio State's going to win, but if they were to beat Michigan and go on to win the Big Ten championship, they deserve significant consideration in the college football playoff, just as Michigan does. The winner of the Big Ten, with one loss, a Big Ten champion, needs to be in that Final Four.
Yes, and they probably will be. But I really want to look at just one final thing on that Ohio State-Maryland game.
Yeah.
I have to say it starts from the top down. And, you know, Urban Meyer, you know, he was a major distraction to start the season with the whole issue with Zach Smith and the domestic assault and all of that. But if you look on the lack of discipline with the amount of penalties that the Buckeyes get, the amount of turnovers were ridiculous on Saturday. Maryland, their fake punt on fourth down, you know who the special teams coach is for Ohio State? His name is Urban Meyer. So to me, it's on Urban. So his, you know, face mask penalty in overtime was just tricky. You know, there was just so many things, and it starts from the top down. That's a head coach. Discipline starts from the end.
Well, of course, an odd matchup, Ohio State, Maryland, both of whom had struggles at the top to start this season,
absolutely,
as we all know.
Where discipline is not their finest hour, that's for sure.
I mean, Kyler Murray is the other guy on the short list. Some would mention Gardner Minshew, but Murray, of course, has been exceptional leading that Sooner offense. It's amazing how the transition from Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray happened seemingly without skipping a beat.
No, it really has. He is absolutely spectacular. He is spectacular. Yeah. And he is special. And he needs to be because the defense is special needs. The Oklahoma defense really is still struggling, and it's alarming. I mean, they're this far along in the season.
Yeah, well, they let Stoops go early in the year. They were unhappy with the defense, I guess, after they got lit up after the UT loss. Mm-hmm. But they have not been able to put it together.
No. And it's not really improving. And it's Kyler Murray, much like Dwayne Haskins, you know, because Ohio State's defense is very porous and soft.
Right.
And Kyler Murray is doing for Oklahoma what Dwayne Haskins is doing for Ohio State and keeping them in it. Tua is just adding to, I mean, it's just an embarrassment of riches over there.
Yeah. Well, so let's look at the Big 12 then. You've got a big matchup looming. If Oklahoma can beat West Virginia, they're on their way to the Big 12 championship game. And if Texas wins out, it would be
and they're going to see Kansas. Who do you think is going to come out on top of that
one? Yeah, so Texas wins that one. question about Sam Ellinger and his health, but assuming Texas takes care of business against Kansas, it would be a great thing for the Big 12 to have a championship game that included the Longhorns and the Sooners.
That would be exactly what Bob Bowlesby needs.
Yes.
To say, put a stamp on that championship game.
Right.
Decision.
No, and look.
And it's what college football loves, too.
Oh, it would be a great matchup, the two rivals. Of course, Texas won the first matchup, barely, a good close game earlier in the season.
Game.
I'm almost sympathetic to Texas in this one because it's hard to beat a great team twice.
And that's the tricky thing with the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely. West Virginia and OU the same.
But Ellinger, certainly the best quarterback Texas has had since, well, maybe Colt McCoy, who is now the starter on the Washington Redskins.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding.
I mean, Ellinger really has played well for them. Their issue, of course, has also been defense, although the defense looked a lot better against Iowa State last weekend.
But, you know, it's also indicative of the conference. We're talking about Oklahoma having a porous defense, UT. You know, the Big 12 is not known for their defense. They're known for air raid offenses. That's what they do, score, score, score.
So let's look at the SEC for a minute. Their schedule has worked out favorably. It seems they play the weaker teams later in the season. So last Saturday, nearly all those big SEC teams had cupcake games.
Oh my gosh, can we just like Citadel, UMass, Idaho, Chattanooga, these are the opponents.
Yeah.
Aye. But you know what? Credit them. Taking it a little bit easy in November while everyone else dukes it out for their conference championship.
Well, they'll be ready when the time comes. We'll be ready when we come back for the He Said, She Said segment on The Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. This is the world-famous, highly acclaimed, much-anticipated segment, the He Said, She Said segment. We will hear what sports luminaries had to say during the course of the week, and we will dissect what they had to say with the help of Jose. Oh, we first will go to the L.A. Coliseum where we have Mark Myers on the ground. Mark, what's the update in the big game tonight?
Well, you know, when you have two top offenses, you get a lot of points. That's what we're seeing so far here, a wildly entertaining first half. 17-16, Chiefs have the lead over the Rams as we hit the two-minute warning. Patrick Mahomes came into this game with an NFL-best 31 touchdown passes, and you could add two more to that total tonight. Tyreek Hill, 25-yard scoring strike. Kareem Hunt, a 21-yard touchdown reception. Jared Goff also with a pair of touchdown throws. Robert Woods, 7 yards. Josh Reynolds, 4 yards. But the difference, Greg Zuerlein, he missed an extra point, and right now that is that one-point difference in the ball game. Now the Chiefs, I think, are getting the better of this first half, but really the problem has been penalties. 10 penalties for 95 yards in this first half. And a few of those penalties extended Ram drives. So that is something Andy Reid's going to have to try and clean up if they're going to continue to stay in this ball game. Again, it's a one-point Chiefs lead. The only turnover was a sack fumble on Jared Goff. That was recovered by Alan Bailey just a few minutes ago. They recovered it at the 21-yard line, and the Chiefs hunt scored on the very next play. That put KC into the lead for the first time tonight. And as I say, they have that lead by the narrowest of margins. It's 17-16. Chiefs, they have the ball at the 22-yard line as we come out of a two-minute warning timeout. Back to you.
Fantastic. That's Mark Myers, our man on the ground at the L.A. Coliseum. All right, let's return to the He Said, She Said segment. We're going to begin with the Saints with this huge win over the Eagles, and they really poured it on late in the game. There was a deep pass from Breeze to Kamara. Let's hear what went down.
Saints go for it. Kamara down the sideline. What a throw. Another touchdown. touchdown throw to Alvin Kamara.
All right, so the question on the table, and there were a lot of people who lit up Twitter, that going for it on fourth down with a big lead in the fourth quarter, the Saints were actually pouring it on, and they shouldn't have gone deep there. Your thoughts?
If he's open, he's open.
Yep.
I mean, come on. Again, this is the NFL. You're paid to play football. I don't know. I'm okay with it. You know, New Orleans has scored over 45 points in the last three games on their 9-game winning streak. This is totally okay.
Jose?
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. I subscribe to the idea that you always leave your foot on the gas, especially when, I don't know, you're playing the defending champions. Don't you want to just destroy them? Don't you want to remind everyone you're the best team in the NFC? I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that it's about, hammering down the Eagles as it is. Look, through history, we've seen this in the NFL. There's almost no lead that's really safe. I mean, there's so many instances where the preposterous has happened. And if you have a chance to score, and it was one-on-one matchup out there, Kamara on Jenkins, and Breeze took advantage of it, went deep, and so be it.
Agreed.
These are grown men.
And we are nice people, and we want them to stick it to them.
Well, we may be less nice than we think.
That's right.
All right, let's move on. Keenan Allen, who, of course, plays for the Chargers, and he was very, very unhappy with the Chargers' loss to the Broncos. Let's hear from Keenan Allen.
No, I don't think they played well at all. Like, we dominated the game. Turnover, we gained some points. That's what happened. They sucked.
Obviously, when you're 7-3,
I mean, what's notable there is there's always the classic, you lose the game, the loser always has to say, well, yes, the other team played well. Keenan Allen said, no, they didn't play well. We gave the game to them.
Well, and he's right. You look at Phillip Rivers. He had over 400 yards yesterday and two touchdowns. You know, it's these missed point afters, turnovers. He's right.
Yeah.
I mean, Denver shouldn't have won that game. It's 23-22, and that was a heartbreaker for the Chargers.
Yeah, and the Chargers were on a real roll. In fact, people were already counting how many games they could finish with and wins, and then to lose yesterday against really a weaker team is a big setback for the Chargers.
And his honesty is refreshing. Have at it.
All right. Jay Gruden, head coach of the Redskins. Mm. What happened on the field yesterday to Alex Smith, devastating in many, many ways. Let's hear what Jay Gruden had to say.
When you have an injury like that, it's more heartbreaking than it is physical. You know, it just breaks your heart because this is what he loves to do. He loves to lead this football team. He loves to be with the guys, and now the season's over, and he's got a long way back. But physically, he'll be fine. Mentally, he'll be fine. It's just hard to watch that happen to any athlete.
Well, it is hard to watch. Summoned memories of Joe Theismann. He was taken off the field. He was having a good season, albeit sort of in a game manager role for the Redskins. But Alex Smith's had a nice career. He's quietly put it together, a former number one overall pick, found his way to the Chiefs, found his way to the Redskins.
Found his way to the top spot in his division.
And I guess, yes, well, that's right. The Redskins are leading the NFC East. Their record still stands 6-4 after yesterday's loss to the Texans. They do face the Cowboys this Thursday, Thanksgiving. That's a big matchup. Cowboys one game back could tie all things up. Colt McCoy will fill in for Alex Smith. But Alex Smith, by all accounts, a real warrior, a real battler, a good teammate. And so you hate to see him carted off the field.
And credit Jay Gruden. You know, that's a tough loss.
Yep.
It was a hard-fought game, came down to the end, a devastating injury where he loses his starting quarterback. And he talks about not the game, but he talks about Alex is the person, you know, and to know that really humans are above the game. That's a pretty cool thing for a head coach to think about, because he could really lament about that game yesterday, more concerned about his players. So class act right there. Of course, all Grudens are classy.
That's how it is.
My story, and I'm sticking to it.
As she loves her Chucky.
Love me some Chucky.
All right. Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Houston Texans.
Well, we all look
forward to Thanksgiving, but apparently he looks forward to Thanksgiving a little bit more than the rest of us. It's his favorite holiday. Let's listen why.
I definitely think Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I'm not big into presents, and I don't really enjoy birthdays. I do like Christmas, but I'm not a big present guy. I'd rather eat a lot of food. That's why I like Thanksgiving. I like 4th of July, too.
You're going to say you like New Year's Eve.
That's okay. I don't think today. I think Thanksgiving's awesome. It's football, it's turkey, it's stuffing, it's a couple Coors Lights and watch the football.
All right, here's my observation of that. It's not really compelling news whether he likes Thanksgiving better than Christmas or New Year's or 4th of July. I mean, all that's nice and such. What I might note is the whole mood in that room. Oh, my gosh. He was lighthearted. The media was lighthearted. What a 7-game win streak will do for a Texans head coach.
I mean, winning cures all ails.
Oh, my gosh. Remember when they were losing 3 games and he was sitting there saying, well, it's not my fault. It's not my this and that. And you could just feel a whole different attitude in that room.
What a difference 7 games makes, doesn't it?
Amazing.
You guys don't think it's a hot take that he said Thanksgiving is his favorite holiday? To me, that's a hot take.
Well, I'm waiting to know what...
Jose, I'm worried about you with what you think of as hot. I'm not going to ask you about your women opinions after that.
Well, you're supposed to be scouting for me, aren't you?
I'm working for you.
Well, the one thing of which I am certain is we do not have enough time in this segment to really dissect Jose's love life. There's so many nuances
to it.
I really
so want to do
stories,
that at some
so
point. I need more intel.
And their names, and they keep going. Oh, we can't keep up with them
I'm
all.
Going out in the field for Jose. I need the intel. Need to know what he wants.
Sounds like we need a third hour.
All right, hour number three. We'll go to Jose's love life.
Sorry, Alex.
We might even solicit calls, people giving us advice for Jose tonight.
Oh, wow.
Love line. Here we go. All right, moving right along. We've heard from Bill O'Brien. Let's hear from one king, Bill O'Brien, to another king, LeBron James, who took a meaningless three, a late three, at the end of their game against the Heat. Let's hear what LeBron had to say in his press conference.
Well, Lance told me to finish the game off, and I bet you won't shoot a three. He said, go for the three. I bet you won't go for the three. So I went for the three. So I was pointing right at Lance.
Do you think it's smart to do everything Lance
Stevenson
bet you?
Yeah, that's my guy now. We're on the same side.
So I'm going to note here that, well, you look at that press conference, LeBron was smiling, and he was joking. I mean, these are guys who are usually pretty uptight, pretty stiff, pretty down the middle.
It's the winning bug.
Is that what it is?
Gets everyone all giddy.
Maybe I'd be a little more giddy tonight if I just had a win or two.
But, you know, Lance Stevenson has the magic touch. He blew into LeBron's ears a few years ago. That's a famous.
Tell me more.
GIF or GIF? Jose, what is it? I'm going for GIF.
Yeah, it's GIF. It's spelled GIF, but it's GIF.
Jose knows all things about people
He's
blowing in his ear.
He's trying to keep me current. When I go home and talk to my girls, I sound like I know what I'm doing.
Well, you two started speaking a language there I didn't understand.
Childish Gambino. Bam, bam.
There you go.
Excuse me?
He just knows Blue Emu.
I do know my Blue Emu. It's put me back on my feet. All right. Let's move on. We're still in the realm of the NBA. Kyrie Irving.
Love this.
Great player for the Boston Celtics.
Glad someone said
who
it.
Led them to a big win this week over Toronto, and then they slipped back to form and lost to the Jazz. But let's hear what Kyrie Irving had to say about the high scoring going on in the NBA today.
Well, I think it's just not a lot of defense being played. Teams are scoring like it's freaking 1960s or 70s. Like, it's just 132 to 112, 142 to 121. It's just like there's no defense. Like, there's just none. Then we go into a Utah-Boston game, you know, we're playing, and it's 86 to 92. You know what I mean? You just see the difference in just the effort in every single night, which I get from an NBA player standpoint, the amount of games we play, but it's just – sometimes you have to make guys miss. Like, you know, guys, like, we're all NBA players. If you see a open look at the rim, I'm pretty sure we're going to knock it down over 50% of the time if it's wide open. I mean, it's just even. So, smallest, no defense, you know, and just effort. You know. It's really what it comes down to, man. Nobody should be scoring that many points.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So, and let's just look at, we were actually doing the show a couple weeks ago on Monday night.
Yes.
And I thought I saw a Saturday Night Live skit when I saw the halftime score of the Warriors-Bulls game. It was 92 to 50.
At halftime.
At the half. Of course, Warriors lead, but I have to make that clear now because the Warriors don't like to win anymore. But at that time, they did. And I was like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
It's like playground pickup basketball.
Right.
It's silly.
There's something about a long, long NBA season, not any one game making that much difference, and people being rewarded for putting up good offensive statistics, and you put all those things together, and it's easy for defense to get lost.
And, you know, I totally agree with what Kyrie said. It's a lack of effort. I was at the Rockets-Warriors game the other night, and literally the team that was on defense on both sides looked like they were walking around. Mm. It was, I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
It's odd. It's odd. I don't like it. Get back to some, I like that physicality. Let's get in there.
You want that old school 1970s like old school defense, big men in the middle,
I love
bodies
some threes,
flying around.
But let's get some, you know, fighting in the paint.
Fair enough. All right, when we return, we will have my favorite part of the show. We'll get to revisit what I learned, what we all learned from Carla during the past 2 hours.
Don't have caffeine before you do the show.
When we return from the Boss and the Gloss of ESPN Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, this just in, we got a tweet. If Condoleezza Rice does not become the next head coach of the Browns, do we think the Gloss is the one? Are you the one?
Can you imagine me telling Baker what to do? It would not be. It would be life lessons.
She's always had a rocky relationship with Baker Mayfield.
I would love to see like a Hard Knocks edition of just you and Baker Mayfield having a 30-minute conversation once a week. I would love that.
A deep heart.
He would lock me out of his motorhome quarterback room outside of the practice facility.
I'd say. That'd be great. All right, back to what we learned from the Gloss. That was a tweet, by the way. You think that Kevin Durant, in your words, needs to put his big boy pants on and just buckle up and win for the Warriors.
And respect yourself. Play to your talent level.
Fair enough.
Because you are talented. Don't let your head get in the way.
You think Bill O'Brien has got the winning bug. He's enjoying talking about which holiday is his favorite.
And I'd rather hear that than, it's on me. We've got to coach better. I love this new talk.
Yeah, the media sessions are better with 7-game win streaks.
Absolutely.
No doubt. You think the NBA needs to play better defense. You agree with Kyrie Irving.
I would be good with any defense.
Right. Okay. Let's go to the Raiders. You were happy they won, yet maybe they should not have won because it was against the Cardinals. And when the draft comes around, it may well be that they just forfeited the number one pick. They'll end up number two or three.
This will be the only time you'll see me rooting for Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
I will want him to pick up another W.
I mean, that was a bad win, was it not, Jose?
Yeah, I would think you'd shank that field goal at the end of the game, wouldn't you?
Look, this is so Raider-ish. You can't even win right. It's so hard to be an Oakland fan, but I just, you all know, I am loyal to the core. It's killing me. But I'm sticking with him.
Okay. And lastly, you think extra points in the NFL are no longer a sure thing?
No, I love it. Yeah. I love the little
keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Uncertainty, yes.
Fair enough. All right, this has been a great Boss and the Gloss here on ESPN Nation Radio.
Happy Turkey Day, Blue Emu.
Coming up next is Alex Gold. I'm Blue Emu. And next to me is Carla Dawson. Jose, it's been Behind the Glass. Great show, great times. Thanks so much for joining us. Alex Gold, the gold standard, coming up next on ESPN Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big.